Let's read together from God's Word this morning, Genesis 3, and then 1 John 3. First, Genesis 3, found on page 5 in your pew Bibles, the promise of Jesus to a sin-cursed and Satan-enslaved human race. Genesis 3. Verses 1 through 15. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And then let's turn to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, and we'll read the first 10 verses, page 1900 in your pew Bibles. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 10. "How great is the love of the Father, the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray or deceive you. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He, or Jesus, is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. And this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." Verse 8b is our text this morning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Praise be to God for his good word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know where the Christmas story starts. Sure you do. Not in Matthew, not in Luke, which tell us about Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. You know where the Christmas story starts. It starts in Genesis. It starts at the beginning of the Bible, where God promised he would send someone to crush the head of the serpent. And that someone would be the seed of the woman, be a real human being, and yet greater than any human, able to destroy Satan. Who is that? Jesus. He came to deal the death blow to the greatest enemy of the human race, Satan, who holds people captive, who holds us as sin slaves and keeps us in chains, to hate God, to love ourselves. Last week we saw that Jesus came to save the world. God loved the sin-cursed world so much that he sent his Son down to save us, to save the world. Today we see how he saves the world. How does he save the sin-cursed and sin-enslaved world? By destroying Satan, who holds the world in his grip, who holds our minds and our hearts in his prison. Well, that's the good news of great joy that we want to hear today, congregation, with God's help. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Or it's actually plural in the Greek, the devil's works. First of all, we want to see the devil's grip. The world lies in the devil's grip. And then the Son's power to destroy the devil's grip on the world. And thirdly, the believer's deliverance from the devil's grip so we can stop sinning. Stop sinning. Wow. What great news. What liberty. What freedom in the Son of God who appeared to destroy the devil's works. First of all, then, the world lies in the devil's grip. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. And we have to ask the most basic question, what is the devil's work? What is the devil's works? And 1 John 3 makes it very clear, if you read it in context, his work is sin. Well, some people focus on sickness. Yeah, there's the devil. Or your car breaks down. Yeah, there's the devil. Or your schedule gets messed up. Oh, the devil's there. Sin. That's the devil's work. The devil was created good. He's the first sinner. He's created good, a good angel of God, but he chose rebellion against God and did not hold to his proper position, says the Bible in Jude and 2 Peter, and led a revolt against him. Of course it failed, because God is God, and Satan was expelled from the council room of heaven. And then he tried to plant the same rebellion in the human race. He came to Adam and Eve and he tempted them to revolt against God too. Join me. Join me in my movement against God for real freedom. How does Satan tempt us to sin? Through lies. He's a master of lies. Jesus said that in John 8:44, when he lies, he speaks his native language. For he's a liar and a father of lies. He sets a trap and he pulls us in with lies. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. He fed them three big lies. The first big lie was a lie about God. Oh, God knows that when you eat of the tree, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like God. He knows that. He doesn't want what's good for you. God is not good. That's the first lie. God hates you. God doesn't love you. He's trying to withhold good things from you. You can't trust him. God is not good. First big lie. How often hasn't he told you that? God is not good. He can't be trusted. Second lie of Satan. Lie about God's law. He's told you not to eat from the fruit of the tree. Don't listen to his word. Because if you eat, life is going to get better. Don't listen to God's law. He's just trying to make you a slave, a prisoner. Trying to prevent you from flourishing and really enjoying life. Don't listen to God's law. Second lie is about God's law. And how often don't we see that? You can't trust God's word. Your way is better than God's way. He doesn't understand your circumstances. And that's God's problem. He doesn't understand. If he knew what I was facing, he would understand why I'm doing this. You can't trust God's law. Satan's lie. It's just not me to do God's word. It's just not who I am. It's a lie about God, a lie about God's law, and a lie about God's punishment. You will not surely die, he said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of the fruit. No, the opposite's going to happen. You'll be enlightened. You'll become free. You'll be happy.
Your life will be better than ever.
Don't you see that? Satan tempting us with these lies all the time. And then came the greatest tragedy of human history. Adam and Eve, our first parents, took the bait. They swallowed the lie. And they joined forces with Satan against God. They made a covenant of death with Satan. Willfully, against all knowledge. They weren't forced into it. They had every reason not to. A great and loving God who gave them abundance in the Garden of Eden and gave them all the knowledge of His will. But it was against better knowledge. It was against a fully satisfying life, like the prodigal left his father's house in search of something better when he left the best to enter into the worst. And that's what they did. And the choice they made as our representatives, they made for us. So we're all in this together. Satan's slaves. By listening to Satan and obeying him, they were committing themselves to his leadership. They were committing themselves to be part of his kingdom of darkness, to be dominated and ruled by Satan through sin. You see, sin is Satan's access into your life to come in and rule you. And two things happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned. They became guilty before God, lawbreakers, condemned. They got the death sentence. They got the curse for rejecting the good God. The other thing is, they entered into a relationship with Satan as their new master, their dark lord. And now the whole human race belongs to the kingdom of darkness unless someone sets us free. And do you hear how John starts 1 John 3? How great is the love of the Father lavished on us that we should be called children of God. What love that He would come and rescue us from that dark lord whose trap we entered into willfully and said, I want you, Satan. I don't want God anymore. What love that He should actually come into this world to come and save us so we could be transferred from children of the devil to children of God. What love. But we belong to the kingdom of the devil unless someone comes and sets us free. We're in the devil's grip by nature. And that's what John's talking about in 1 John 3. You can tell who belongs to Jesus and who belongs to the devil. He says, you can tell who's the child of God and who's the child of the devil. How? By their relationship to sin. By their relationship to sin. Look at verse 6. 1 John 3, verse 6. No one who lives in Jesus, no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. And verse 9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. If you keep on sinning, if you continue to live in sin, you're a child of the devil. Then you know you don't belong to the kingdom of Jesus. Now, what does that mean? John tells us in the rest of his epistle what that means. That doesn't mean we no longer sin. He who says he has no sin is a liar, 1 John 1. He who confesses his sin will be forgiven. I write this to you so that you won't sin, 1 John 2, but anyone who does sin, you know, we have an advocate with God, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who's the propitiation for our sins. In John, the one who no longer sins, no longer lives in sin, is the one who's no longer ruled by sin, no longer dominated by Satan's lies. But now we see our sin, we confess it. We put it under the blood of Jesus and seek cleansing every day. We fight it. We hate it. We delight in God's commandments. We want to please Him. We want to love one another. That's what it is to be on the side of Jesus. But the one who continues to live in sin still belongs to the devil. And what does that mean in the book of John and in the Bible? The one who continues to be dominated by sin. And you make excuses for it rather than confess it. You want to mollycoddle it and pet it and hold it close. And you don't want to do without that sin because you think that that sin goes, your happiness goes. You're in a love affair with sin. It might be just one particular sin. But you're in a love affair with sin. In a tight relationship within it that you refuse to break, that means you're a child of the devil. That means you're in the devil's grip. Sin rules you. Anger rules you. Greed rules you. Lust rules you. Drunkenness rules you. Pride rules you. Sexual sin rules you. And you don't confess it and weep over it and fight it and run to Jesus for forgiveness and help. You love your sin and won't part with it. You consider your sin to be your source of happiness and freedom and joy. And you consider God and His law to be your threat and your source of bitterness. If you can't say no to sin, to drinking too much, if you can't forgive your brother from the heart, if you hate and do not love, if you refuse to put people ahead of money, don't be deceived, says John, you're not a child of God. I have very good news for you today. If you're still in the grip of the devil, I have very good news for you. Jesus appeared to destroy the devil's work, also in your life. If you've been rescued already, I have very good news for you. Jesus is Lord of your life. And the devil's continuing influence, you have power to fight against it in your life. You have the power of true freedom in Christ, liberation. And that's what we see secondly. The world lies in the devil's grip. But the Son's power breaks the devil's grip and sets you free from Satan's lies and slavery, enslavement to sin, where you just must do that or you can't survive. And Jesus sets you free from that. So you know, I can't do that or I won't survive. Jesus appeared to destroy the devil's work and save you. The reason the Son of God appeared, 1 John 3 verse 8, was to destroy the devil's work. He came to crush the serpent's head. And that word head means his dominion, his domination, his rule over your life and over this world. He came to squish the devil's power and control. And we'll sing that in a moment. Our Savior was born to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. So you can see that, eh? When Jesus came down, when He appeared, it was a war zone. He entered a battle. He came with a sword to fight against the kingdom of darkness. And Revelation 12 is a picture of that, right? What Christmas is about. The woman, that's the church, Israel, is about to give birth to the Messiah. And the dragon is waiting there at the birthbed to try to gobble the Messiah up as soon as he's born, eat him up, destroy him. But Jesus is rescued from the dragon, the serpent's mouth. And wherever Jesus went, that's where this wall of opposition went up before him. Remember the demons, when Jesus got close to them, they just couldn't keep quiet. They would yell out, Mark 1, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? They knew. They knew the Son of God appeared to destroy the devil's work. How did He destroy the devil's work? Four ways. First, just by appearing. Jesus destroyed the devil's work just by appearing. Remember the devil's first lie? God is not good. He does not love you. You can't trust Him. He's trying to hold the better life away from you. But by sending His Son to a sin-cursed and sin-enslaved world, God is saying, I love you. The devil's lie. I destroy that by appearing, by sending my Son. Jesus says, I destroy that lie by coming into the world to save my people from their sins and from Satan's slavery. When we were enemies, spitting in God's face, God sent His Son to save us from our sins. What wondrous love is that? Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the babe in Bethlehem destroys the first lie of Satan. Second, Jesus destroys the devil's work by living, not just by appearing, by being born, conceived and born in our flesh, but by living a sinless life on earth, destroying Satan's second lie. You can't, you shouldn't keep God's law. God is withholding good from you in His law. He's trying to enslave you. And Adam swallowed that. But Jesus Christ did not. He kept God's law regardless. In Him, there is no sin, 1 John 3, verse 5. He's the righteous one. He didn't rebel. He obeyed God's law perfectly. There was no sin in Him. And He called His followers
to do the same. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he expounded the law of God, the beautiful law of God. You've heard that it was said, you shall not murder. I tell you, whoever is angry with his brother has murdered him in his heart. I tell you, it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. I tell you, whoever looks at a woman lustfully commits adultery with her in his heart. He came to delight in God's law, to destroy Satan's second law, you can't trust God's law, and to show us that in following God, there is much glory, as Jesus himself followed God's laws, now in glory. So he destroyed the devil's work by living a sinless life according to God's law. And thirdly, Jesus destroyed Satan's work by his suffering and death. 1 John 3, verse 5, the reason the Son of God appeared was to take away sin, take away our sin. Hebrews 2 says, Jesus by his death destroys him who holds the power of death, the devil. And that's the biggest surprise and wonder of all. You know, when Jesus died, it looked like the kingdom of darkness won the fight. It looked like the Son of God, not that the Son of God appeared to destroy the devil's work, but the Son of God appeared and the devil destroyed his work. But the opposite is true. Because when he died as the great sin bearer. He took our curse and punishment and condemnation, and it was nailed to his body on the cross. And in that way, he destroyed sin. Remember, sin is the devil's access into your life. That's his open door to make your life his playground. Well, when Jesus destroyed sin, when he took it away, he closed the door to Satan in your life and shut him out. He destroyed the devil's work by dying, suffering and dying. And fourthly, Jesus destroyed the devil's work by his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. The devil brought us down to death and the curse. But Jesus lifts us up to life and heaven by rising again. Jesus destroyed the dominion of darkness and raised us up in newness of life. So when you belong to him, you have the power of the new life living in you. The life that says no to sin and Satan. And to say yes to God. You have the victory. You have victory in Jesus. Oh, the fight against sin continues in every one of our lives. We need, as John says, to confess our sins and to plead Christ's finished work on the cross to cover them, to pray for the Spirit to fill us so we can fight against the devil's temptations every day and his assaults on our life. He knows the soft spot, the weak spot, that one sin where he can grab you. But by the Spirit, you can put the word in front of that to close that doorway into your life and say no to Satan and yes to God because of the power of Jesus living in you. Oh, I know Paul says that I know that there's nothing good living in me that is in my flesh, my sinful nature. But he goes on then in the next chapter, thanks be to God for the victory we have in Christ, that through his Spirit we can put to death the misdeeds of the body. Christ has destroyed the devil's work by his appearing. His conception and birth in Bethlehem, Nazareth in Bethlehem. His suffering and death at Golgotha. His resurrection on Easter morning. His ascension into heaven where he's now reigning and destroying the devil's kingdom person by person across all nations, languages, and peoples on the earth. Yes, he came to save the world. And he's doing it one person at a time by slaying the dragon Satan from people's lives. Satan's power makes you a slave. Jesus' power sets you free. Satan's power ruins lives. Jesus' power restores lives. Satan's power brings a curse. Jesus' power brings a blessing. His work sets you free. His work takes away your sin. His work takes you out of Satan's control. You see what good news this is? Sometimes we talk or maybe just think, I've made such a mess of my life, I need to redeem myself. I look so bad in front of other people, I need to redeem myself. I need to try harder and harder and harder. I need to put on a better face. I need to put on a better way. I can redeem myself. You can't redeem yourself. You can't. And you better stop trying. Because whatever self-redemption you accomplish is going to be just another face of Satan rearing his ugly head in your life. And the good news is the Son of God appeared to destroy the devil's work. You can't redeem yourself. Jesus came to redeem you. Believe in Him. Give your life to Him, your sin-wrecked, Satan-enslaved life to Him, and become free indeed through the Son of God who appeared to destroy the devil's work. That's the best Christmas gift you could ever, ever receive. If you finally give up on yourself and say, Lord God, I am Satan's child, and I'm sick of giving my life to sin so Satan can make me his playground. Come into my life. I trust in your death and resurrection to be the only power that can rescue me. And he will come today and give you a new life, a new start. And you'll be able to say with all the believers of God, how great is the love the Father has lavished on me that I can now be called the child of God. What love that brought me from that dark Lord Satan to the Lord of light, Jesus Christ. Well, we see thirdly, the believer's power. Charles Wesley described how the Son of God rescued him from Satan's tyranny. Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Then thine eye, Jesus' eye, diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon filled with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? I rose, went forth, and followed thee. I have good news, dear people of God. In Jesus, you're redeemed from Satan's power and might. But there's more. As the children of God who belong to Jesus Christ, when that heavenly invasion has entered your life and Jesus has come in and toppled, dethroned Satan from your heart and mind and actions and attitudes, and enthroned himself as your Savior and Lord to forgive you and lead you his way. When that invasion takes place, you have a new power to say no to sin every day. And that's what John's talking about. A power not to keep on sinning. And I want to declare that liberty to you today, dear children of the Lord, dear people of God. Again, Satan knows the sin whereby he can grab you and pull you into a trap and anchor your life down. For some of you, it's getting angry too quickly. The rage is right ready to appear. Do you know Jesus set you free from that? Do you know you don't have to give into that? If you confess that rather than say, he made me angry. If you confess that, put it under the blood, look for forgiveness. Pray for the Spirit of Christ, the resurrection power, the one who destroyed the devil's work. That work will be destroyed in your life, that work of the devil. Maybe it's lust and pornography. You just can't seem to quit. It's only a mouse away. And if I go there, I'll feel a little bit better. I'll have a little bit of stress relief. Do you know that Jesus died for you to destroy this work of the devil in your life as well? Go to him. Press him for help. Ask him to send you people to help you. You'll be delivered from that. Maybe it's just not caring about your brothers and sisters because you're so full of yourself. Hating a brother, a sister. Not able to forgive. I want you to know that through Christ, you can grow out of that. You really can. Oh, it might take a lifetime, but you can grow out of that. Through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ who destroyed the devil's work. And that power is yours. through Christ who appeared to destroy the devil's work also in your life personally. And it may be spiritual laziness. It may be some other sin of envy or bitterness. And by these, the devil is trying to pull you back into his kingdom. But Christ won't let you go. He's your strength. Call upon his name. Look for his help. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, says John, our faith. Believing in Jesus Christ, not just once, but every day and many times a day. Help me, help me, help me, Lord, to destroy this particular sin that the devil's using to try to bring me down. And then one day, Jesus will appear again. And his next appearing will be face to face. And when we see him, we'll become like him, he says, for we'll see him as he is, and he'll bring us into perfect blessedness. We shall see him, not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by, but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high, where like stars his children crowned, all in white shall gather round. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, you sent your Son to destroy the works of the devil. And we praise you for the great liberty that we have in Jesus Christ to live as the children of God and not to continue in sin. Give us grace, Lord, to live that life of Christ, the devil destroyer, the bondage breaker, the dragon slayer in our lives. Father, we pray that you will go with us in the rest of this Lord's Day. Grant a blessing to our Sunday school children as they meet together. Grant a blessing also to Pastor Vellinga as he leads the chapel in the prison this morning. Grant a blessing to us also in our community carol fest tonight. Father, we pray that you will go with us and strengthen us to serve you, the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.